Amen. Help us, Lord. I mean, it's a good question that we each ought to ask ourselves regularly. Am I living my life in such a way that it reflects the Lord Jesus? I want to invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the 8th chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 8. And so for the next number of weeks, probably for the summer, we're going to set the book of Genesis aside. And I'm going to be preaching some sermons on prayer and prayer and fasting. A couple of weeks ago, I told you that we are going to be having a revival meeting at the end of August, first part of September, the week after school starts. And I was talking with one of our deacons about that this morning, and he said, you know, Brother Greg, it sure seems like after you announced that, or since you've announced that, that the spiritual warfare has just intensified and the attacks of the enemy have just been incredible. And I said, well, you know, I've experienced that. I certainly have felt that as well. And so what is the answer to all of that? Well, the answer is prayer, is coming back before the Lord. In fact, what I'm going to do before we come to this time of revival, I'm going to call the church to 40 days of prayer and fasting. And so 40 days before the revival begins is July the 19th. And so on July the 19th, we're going to start a time of prayer and fasting. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be preaching on prayer and fasting over these next several weeks so that we can prepare ourselves. And I'm going to encourage everybody to spend some time fasting and in prayer for our church and for our community and for revival. And so what I hope to do is during those 40 days is at some point everybody or every day someone is going to be fasting and praying. And so we're working on that. And I just want to encourage you in that because, you know, the scripture says, my people are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. And so the scripture is very clear on this. We have this responsibility as God's people to come before him and pray. We've set down one of our reminders is our soul chest here on the altar. And we've got many names of people who need to know Jesus in this chest. And if you have some more names, it's still open. You can come put in more names. The cards are here, down here on the altar. But we are going to set ourselves to pray, and we're just going to ask God to pour his Spirit out. And so today I want to begin with just what really prayer is or how it works, what it's all about. And I've selected two verses in Romans chapter 8 that we're going to share together this morning, vital to understanding prayer or what happens when we pray and who we are and how we pray. So verse 26 is where we're going to begin, Romans 8, 26. He says, in the same way. Now, if you just pause right there, you might ask yourself the question, in the same way what? What exactly are we talking about here? What does he mean in the same way? Well, to understand this, you've got to take everything in context and understand that in the 8th chapter, he's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, how he works in this world and how he works in believers and to believers, through believers, all these things, and what is happening. And the reason that the Spirit is at work is because we are living in a sinful, sin-filled world, and we are sinful people. So, for example, back in Romans chapter 7, he says, I know what's right, I know what's wrong, I want to do right, I don't want to do wrong, I end up doing wrong. It's no longer me then, but the sin that dwelleth within me. And so there is an issue, there's a problem with sin, and we live in a sin fallen, a sin-soaked world. And if you look back up in verse 22 of Romans 8, he says that we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Now, why is it groaning together with labor pains? Because it has been subjected to futility in sin, our own sin. And so all of creation has been affected. And so it's groaning, looking for something that's coming, looking for the day of redemption, all of creation. And then in the next verse, verse 23, he says, and not only that,
But we ourselves who have the Spirit as the firstborn fruits, or as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption. In other words, not only is all creation groaning under the weight of sin, but we ourselves, even those of us who have the Spirit of God as the first fruit of God. And so we groan because we're not there yet. Yes, we are saved. Yes, filled by the Spirit of God, but we are still subject to sin. And so we groan looking for that final redemption, looking for that day when Jesus comes again, or He takes us home and we become complete in Him. Then we'll no longer groan under this burden or weight of sin. So that's the same way, verse 26 now. He says, in the same way, watch this, the Spirit also joins to help our weakness because we don't know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken, what? Groanings. So the in the same way is the groanings. In the same way that creation is groaning, in the same way that we who have the first fruit of God, which is the Spirit of God living within us, in the same way that we groan, the Spirit Himself groans. Why or how? He groans in prayer for us because, watch what it says, we are weak in prayer. He groans for our weakness. And we have a weakness. What is that weakness? That weakness is prayer. Look at verse 27. And He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, excuse me, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So what happens? The Spirit of God is at work in this world, and He's at work in the church, and He's at work in the lives of believers to help us in our weakness because we are weak. What is our weakness? Our main weakness, beloved, listen to me. Our main weakness is prayer. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Greg, I'm a prayer warrior. Listen, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? Don't get mad at me if I tell you you're weak in prayer. This is what the Word of God says, all right? Get mad at God. What does He say? He says we're weak in prayer. But the Spirit, He says, is at work to help us in our weakness. So what I want to do is I want to show you two things this morning. I want to show you how we are weak in prayer, what our weakness in prayer looks like. And again, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And then I want to show you what the Spirit does to help us in our weakness, okay? And really what we're going to find here is the foundation or what prayer is all about, all right? So we are weak in prayer, He says. And how are we weak? Well, we're weak two ways. We are weak, first of all, because we fail, listen to me, we fail to pray. We fail to pray. Beloved, prayer is the basic Christian discipline. It is. You can't be saved unless you pray, can you? You know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? Well, you've got to pray in order to be saved. So it is the foundational thing. You pray as you're being saved because you're calling upon the name of the Lord. And so prayer then becomes really our breath as a child of God. It ought to be something we do all the time. In fact, remember that 2 Chronicles 7:14 verse where it says, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. That is, we ought to, but He says if. That is, you might not. In fact, most of the time we don't. But it's a very, very simple thing. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord God said, call unto me and I will answer you and tell you these great and incomprehensible things that you didn't know. In other words, all you've got to do is call on me. This is a very, very basic, simple thing. Prayer is just calling on the name of the Lord. And yet the Bible also says in James 4:2, He says, you do not have because you what? Do not ask. Do not ask. And so what I have discovered, and I'm not talking about anybody else here but myself, what I've discovered is prayer, even though it's the foundational or one of the most simple things in all the world, just to talk to God, it's one of the most difficult things that I do. Because what I've discovered is that I have an adversary out there who doesn't want me to pray. And he does everything he can do to keep me from praying. And so when I try to pray, he's got my mind wandering on other things. He brings other things up. He causes me to get tired and fall asleep. All these other things. It is the basic discipline, and yet it's one of the most difficult things that we do as prayer. And by the way, when I'm talking about prayer, I'm not just talking about saying grace over your meal. Listen, if you say grace over your meal, praise God, you keep doing that. I'm not just talking about saying a few words of prayer before you fall asleep at night. I'm not even talking about as you're driving down the road, maybe you're talking to God, maybe you're praying. Praise God, you keep doing that. What I'm talking about is you taking the Word of God and you getting alone with God, just you and God. All the distractions, are you need to go somewhere where nobody's going to bother you, your husband, your wife, your kids, whatever it is, just somewhere where you can be alone with God. And you just spend time alone with Him. And you might spend 15 minutes, you might spend 30 minutes, you might spend an hour. And I know when I say that, some of us are going to say, wait a minute, Brother Greg, I don't know that I've got anything to pray an hour over. I mean, after I tell God what I want and I ask God to keep all my children safe and bless everybody, what else do I got to pray for, right? I might pray that, you know, the job goes well, but I can't think of things to pray for an hour. You remember when Jesus was in Gethsemane and he was out there praying and sweat drops of blood coming down. He went back and he had left his disciples there to pray, right? And they were asleep. And he said, couldn't you just watch and pray with me for 1 hour? Couldn't you just watch and pray for me, pray with me for 1 hour? Let's just be honest about it, folks. I'm not going to ask for any hands, but just examine your own prayer life. When was the last time you spent an hour just alone, you and God? You've got the Word out. You're talking to God. You're communing with God. When was the last time you just spent that kind of time with God? I mean, examine yourself. Why in the world do we have such a difficult time praying? Why do we fail to pray? And by the way, prayerlessness is sin. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel was asked by the people, would you pray for us? And he said, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray or failing to pray for you. And so what God is doing, he is calling us to pray. This is part of our spiritual discipline. And what I'm going to be encouraging you to do is find that time where you just get alone with the Word and with God. And you just begin to spend time with you. Our greatest problem in this church is prayerlessness. The greatest problem we have in our lives, prayerlessness. Why are we weak in prayer? Because we fail to pray. That's the first thing. Why are we weak in prayer? Here's the second thing. Because we don't pray biblically. We don't pray biblically. Now, Jesus taught us how to pray. His disciples, this is the one thing that they ask him, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And so he taught the model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to be preaching on the Lord's Prayer during these sermons because I preached through the Lord's Prayer back in January of 2013. And I would encourage you, if you don't remember those sermons, you can go online to our podcast. And I think you can find them there. We also have copies of CDs that we'll make for you, if you would like that. But anyway, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, but he modeled prayer for them. And you know what? The Word of God, besides the Lord's Prayer, what you're going to discover, if you study the Word on prayer, you're going to find four ways that you must pray in order to pray biblically. Okay? Now pay attention. Four ways that you must pray if you're going to pray biblically. Look at these. Number one, you must pray believing. If you're going to pray biblically, you must pray believing. That is trusting. In Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, if you believe, and that word believe is the Greek word pisteuo, and it literally means to faith. It means to put your trust in. It's more than just intellectual assent. It's more than just intellectual belief, as in, I believe in this podium here. No, it means to put your complete faith and trust in. And so Jesus said, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Now, do you understand? If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for. What is the opposite of that? If you don't believe, You won't receive. That is, if you don't faith. And you think about it. Faith is the foundation of prayer. Why in the world would you pray if you didn't believe? I get asked all the time, Brother Greg, does God listen to or answer the prayer of unbelievers? And the answer is no. No. Because you've got to come to God believing. You've got to come in faith. In fact, the only prayer of an unbeliever that God listens to is the prayer of faith, in which an unbeliever says, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Will you forgive me and come into my life and save me? The sinner's prayer is the prayer of faith that an unbeliever can pray, and now an unbeliever is a believer. Do you understand? You have got to pray believing. And this is why we have so little power in prayer. It seems like God doesn't answer our prayer because we don't come before Him believing or come before Him praying in faith. If you're going to pray biblically, number one, you've got to pray believing. Here's the second thing. You've got to pray belonging. Belonging. In John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, do you hear that? Whatever you ask, He says. How much is whatever? Well, it's whatever. So He says, whatever you ask, I will do it for you. No, He says, whatever you ask in my name. Now, beloved, listen to me. This means more than just tacking on a formula at the end of your prayers. I do this. Most of us do this. We pray, and we want to pray in the name of Jesus. And so we're praying along, and when we get finished with our prayer, we say, and in the name of Jesus I pray, amen. And so we think we're praying in the name of Jesus. Now listen, I don't want to discourage you for putting that at the end of your prayer. If that's what you do, you keep on doing it. I'm going to keep on doing it. But in Jesus' day, a name implied ownership or belonging. And so when you carried the name of something, that means you belong. Let me give you an example of this. My dad grew up in a little place called Gulbusk, Texas. Gulbusk, I don't know if you ever heard of it, ever been there. It's in South Coleman County. And actually, he went to school in Moselle, which is just kind of right down the road. There's nothing left, or when I was a boy, there was nothing left of Moselle except that old schoolhouse, which was broken down. But at that time, there was not much left of Gulbusk, except there was a post office, there was a Baptist church, and around that Baptist church was the cemetery that all the Smith folk are buried in, and there was a little store, and then there was a soda fountain, which was kind of like a drug store as well, but there was this old-fashioned soda fountain in there, and when I was a boy, we would go visit my grandparents in Coleman, and many times we'd go out to Gulbusk to tend the graves, and then we would see all the friends and everything. And I loved to go into that little soda fountain. The first time I went into that soda fountain, the man behind the counter said, what's your name? I said, my name's Greg. He said, what's your last name? I said, Smith. He said, you one of those Smith boys? I said, yes, sir. He says, who's your daddy? I said, Seeley Smith. He said, you're Seeley Smith's boy? I said, yes, sir. He said, you belong to Brother Seeley? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, here you go, son. He made me a strawberry soda. And that day, I got a strawberry soda in the name of Seeley Smith. Not in the name of Greg Smith. In fact, every time I went in there, I got a strawberry soda in the name of Brother Seeley. Because I was Seeley's boy, I belonged to him. Do you understand? When you come into the presence of the Father, you come in your own name by your own authority. Listen, that means absolutely nothing. But when you come belonging to Jesus, come on now. When you come belonging to Jesus, you belong to him. And now listen, you come in the name of Jesus. It's not just something you tack on the end of the prayer. It means you belong personally to him, intimately to him. You are his. He lives within you. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, when you pray in my name, that is belonging to me. Listen, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. So if you're going to pray biblically, you're going to pray believing, that is in faith. You're going to pray belonging, that is belonging to Jesus. And then you must also pray abiding. Abiding. Here's number three. Pray abiding. In John 15:7, Jesus said, "If you abide or remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you." Now, do you get that? Ask whatever you want, and it'll be done for you. How so? Well, he says, if you remain in me, and I remain in you, and my word remains in you. That word remain or abide means to be attached to. Of course, the illustration that Jesus uses here is the vine and the branches. A branch is attached to the vine. And if it's not attached to the vine, it can't draw sustenance and life and everything else from that vine, because that's what the branch does. You've got to be attached to Jesus in the same way. And beloved, this is a daily thing. This is a walking with Him. You are not going to find your power in prayer. You're not going to find your prayers answered. It's going to seem like they're not even getting above that ceiling if you're not abiding in Jesus. That is, living in Him, attached to Him, remaining in Him. Fourth thing, in order to pray biblically, you must pray according. According to what? According to His will. According to His will. Let me give you another verse. One little verse here in 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, the Apostle John says, now this is the confidence we have before Him. Whenever we ask anything, and if you notice in all these verses, it's been anything, whatever. Whatever it is you ask, when you ask anything, He said, watch, according to His will, He hears us. When you ask according to His will, He hears. And that almost makes sense, doesn't it? Because God, who is the sovereign God of all the universe, if you were to pray outside of His will or not according to His will, why in the world would He do that? He would be doing something that's not according to His will. And He's God. He's not going to do that. But when you pray according to His will, now the Scripture says, that is, you pray according to His will, and now He's doing His will. He's going to do that in your life. He's going to do that within you. This past week, I went to see Betty Reed in the hospital several times, and if I haven't heard today, if Betty Reed has not gone on to see Jesus, she is very, very close today. But this past week, when she was still coherent, I walked into her hospital room. She opened her eyes and she said, "Oh, Brother Greg, pray that God takes me home soon." And I said, "Well, Betty, how about if I pray that God's will would be done?" And she said, "Oh, that's good enough. Let's pray that prayer." And so we just prayed according to God's will. And God, very soon, those gates of heaven are going to open up and receive Betty, and she's going to be with the Lord Jesus and reunited with Pete and Daryl and her whole family. But this is according to the will of God. And this honestly is the only way to pray. Now watch this. In order to pray according to God's will, what do you have to know? Well, you got to know God's will. And is this a problem with you? Well, it's a problem with me. How do I know God's will? And that brings me to part two of the sermon. Part one is, we're weak in prayer. Why are we weak? Well, we're weak because we don't pray. When we do pray, we don't pray biblically. All right? So, what does it mean to pray? And what does God do about our weakness? Well, what He does is He sends the Spirit of God. And that's what our verses here in Romans are all about. God sends His Spirit. And so He says there in verse 26 and 27 twice, He says, because we don't know how to pray as we should, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. In verse 27, He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because He intercedes for the saints. So look what happens. God helps us in our prayer. Now, we're weak in prayer, but God helps us. And how does He do that? He gives us the Spirit. The Spirit of God within you is God's help for prayer. Now watch this. This is very, very important. Understand what the Spirit does in you to help you with prayer. Number one, He intensifies the burden to pray. Now remember, what was one of our big problems in prayer? What is one of our big weaknesses? We just don't pray. And a lot of times when we do pray, we're kind of playing games. By the way, have you ever, and listen, I'm not picking on anybody. Please don't hear this picking on me. I'll pick it on myself. But have you ever listened to me or anybody else pray in public, you know, in the church? We come down here, and a lot of times, you know, what we do is we pray all these flowery words. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong. Listen, pray. But a lot of times, especially me, I pray these King James prayers. You know, O Lordeth, thanketh thee for all of thy abundeth, you know, good times. And all that other stuff. So we just kind of, you know, we just kind of lay it all out there. We pray these long, flowery prayers, you know. And these are unburdened prayers. Let's just be honest about it. I'm talking about myself, not anybody else. But you know what I've discovered? When I'm in trouble, when something's not going quite right, or when I'm upset or something else like that, I don't necessarily come to God and pray a long, flowery, flowing King James prayer. I just kind of cry out to God. I mean, think about this. Remember when Peter was out there walking on the water with Jesus? He stepped out of the boat, walked on the water, and he's walking along, and then he goes, hey, hold on just a minute, I can't do this. And he looks down, and he starts to sink, right? You know what kind of prayer Peter prayed at that point? It wasn't one of those, oh, Lord Jesus, the wind is blowing, and the waves are, and the moon is shining bright. No, no, no. He wasn't. What did Peter do? He said, Lord, help me. And you know what I've discovered? Man, I tell you, when things aren't going, I hit my knees and I don't have time to go, oh, Father. And I'm just like, oh, God, help me. Help me, God. And I tell you what, I've been praying that prayer an awful lot lately. This is the burden of the Spirit of God. What the Spirit of God does within us is He helps us to pray. He comes and He places that burden. Sometimes when we wouldn't even think about praying or don't know to pray, there's a burden to pray. And so we just get down. And it might not be a long, flowing, flowery prayer or whatever, but man, we just know we've got to pray. That is the burden of the Spirit of God. In James chapter 5, verse 16, James said, the urgent request of a righteous person is powerful in its effect. King James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And what he's saying is those periods of time when you can't do anything else but cry out to God, he says they're powerful in its effect, the urgent request of a righteous man. And so the Spirit of God gives us a burden or an urgency, and he intensifies the burden in prayer. That's the first way the Spirit helps us to pray. The second way is this. The Spirit intercedes for us Himself. He intercedes for us Himself. Notice again, in verses 26 and 27, twice, in each one of those verses, He says, the Spirit intercedes for us. We're weak in prayer, and so the Spirit just comes along, and He's our go-between. Since we're weak, He's strong. And so what He does is He's in the very presence of God, and He brings us into that presence. Now, I want you to notice something here, and beloved, this is vitally important. Please, please, if you've been asleep or hadn't got any of the rest of this, would you get this part right here? I want you to notice that prayer is a two-way street, right? It goes this way, and so what happens is you begin to pray, and you're beginning to talk with God, and you're communing with God. And at this point, you're engaging your mind. Maybe your spirit and heart are beginning to engage a little bit. But the direction of your prayer, first of all, is you might just begin to worship God or adore God or give Him praise or glory. Your prayer is going this way. Well, what's happening at that point? Well, as soon as you begin to pray, I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, Where is He at, by the way, right now? You know, Jesus walked on this earth. He died. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. He ascended into heaven. And what's He doing right now? If you look over in verse 34, for example, of this eighth chapter of Romans, Paul is talking about who we've got going for us. And he says, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. So where's the Lord Jesus right now? Well, he's right at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John said, "My little children, I'm writing to you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father." Well, who is that, John? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now, the advocate is the go-between. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's talking to the Father on our behalf. In fact, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, "He ever liveth to make intercession for us." He's always alive making intercession for us. That is, he never grows tired, never sleeps, he never goes to the bathroom, anything else. He's always, excuse me, he is always there making intercession for us. Now, what happens when you begin to pray, the moment you begin to pray? Now, Jesus is making intercession for you. Right there with the Father, he's got the Father's ear, the right hand of the Father, position of power and authority. Well, what's the Spirit of God doing there? What does it mean when it says that the Spirit intercedes for us? Well, Jesus is speaking to the Father on our behalf. The Spirit, watch this, is actually speaking to us on the Father's behalf. You know, most of the time, or in times past, when I read these verses 26 and 27 in Romans 8, I thought, well, that means the Spirit is praying. He prays in these groanings unutterable, is what King James says. He prays in things that just can't be articulated. And so they're going this way to God. But then I got to realizing, no, wait a minute, Jesus is interceding on my behalf to the Father. So what the Spirit must be doing is coming back this way. Remember, prayer is a two-way street. Now, remember one of our problems in praying biblically? Or when we pray biblically, how we must pray? We must pray according to the will of God. And I said earlier, you know, this is one of our problems, isn't it? Knowing God's will. How do you know God's will? Well, you open up the Scripture and you're going to find God's will. But you know how you also come to know God's will? You begin to pray. And what happens is, as you begin to pray, and this is what's happening in the physical world, your voice, or however it is, you're praying. In the spiritual realm, your heart and your spirit begin to come in tune with God. This is a supernatural thing. This is what God is doing. In fact, if you look down in verse 27, watch. All of this is set in the context of prayer. He says, and the he there he's talking about is the Spirit of God, or God the Father. He who searches the hearts. Whose hearts is he searching? Your heart. I've got some good news for you. God is searching and he knows your heart. Now I've got some bad news for you. God is searching and he knows your heart. He who searches the heart, he knows the spirit mindset. Watch. And he intercedes for the saints according to how? What? The will of God. Look at what happens. When you begin to pray, now in the spiritual realm, some things are happening. Your heart now is opened up to God. Can you close your heart up to God? Certainly you can. You can harden your heart to God, all of these things. But when you pray, you cannot harden your heart. What happens is, as you're praying, your heart is softened, your heart is being opened to God, and God the Father is examining your heart. Now watch this. He knows what's in your heart now. He knows what's going on with you. And he also has his perfect will. And now the Spirit of God, who knows what's in your heart, and the Spirit of God knows what's in the heart of God. He knows the mind of God. He knows the will of God, the purposes and the plans of God. Now the Spirit of God intercedes for us, or to us. And so it is the Spirit of God now. Understand, the Spirit of God is at work in your heart and life, doing what? Bringing to bear the will of God and the purposes of God and the plans of God. But watch, this only happens when you pray. This is why so many of us go around, well, I don't know what God wants. I don't know what God... Then pray. Get down on your knees before God and begin to pray. Because what's going to happen is the Spirit of God has begun to do some work in your life. Have you ever wondered why maybe you didn't know what to do and you begin to pray, and then all of a sudden it just became clear to you and you knew exactly what to do? And I know that there are many believers, you've had this kind of experience. If you really don't understand prayer, you're not much of a prayer, then you may not have had anything like this. But if you're a prayer warrior, what's going to happen is you begin to pray. You've got a problem. You've got an issue. You're not sure what's going on. You begin to pray. And then as you pray through it, all of a sudden, it just becomes clear to you what you need to do. And what's happening is the Spirit of God is coming to bear in your heart, showing you the things of God, the will of God. Now you can pray according to His will. And what did the Bible say? When you pray according to His will, you ask anything and it is done for you. Let me just give you a quick illustration of how this works. Here it is. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember how He started that prayer? As He knelt before the Father, He said, "Father, let this cup pass from me." Remember that? What was the will of Jesus at that point? It was to let the cup pass. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He goes back, says, "Hey, guys, can't you even watch him pray an hour?" He comes back, prays the same prayer. "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Goes back, finds his disciples sleeping, come back, third time, same prayer. "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Now watch this. Right after that, here comes those soldiers. We portray this in the Passion Play every year. And they come to arrest Jesus. And what does Peter do? He grabs his sword and he jumps up and he chops off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. And what does Jesus say at that point? He says, "Peter, put away your short sword. Should I not drink the cup the Father has given to me?" Now, how is Jesus praying? "Let this cup pass from me." But at this moment now, the will of God is clear with him, and he's going with the will of God. Do you understand? How did that come out in the mind of Jesus? It came out through prayer. Through prayer. And listen, if Jesus needed to pray to get the mind of God to understand the will of God, the purposes and plans of God, how much more people like you and me, brothers and sisters? Do you understand? Well, that's how prayer works. That's how prayer works. If you were to evaluate your prayer life right now, just between you and God, just being honest with God, what would you say? Do you struggle in prayer? Do you struggle finding time to pray? The intensity in prayer? The praying according to the will of God and the purposes and plans of God in the name of God, abiding in Him, and all of those things. Well, you know what? Here's the good news. God doesn't leave you alone. The Spirit groans. The Spirit groans. And right now, He's groaning for you. But, beloved, we must pray. This morning, I'm just going to call the church. I'm going to call us to a commitment to be people of prayer, to be men and women of God, children, young people, to be individuals who pray. You say, "Well, I don't know how to pray. I'm not exactly." Listen, just start praying. You just get alone with God. You just begin to pray. And what you're going to find is that the Spirit of God just begins to work and move and just open up an entire spiritual realm to your heart. Into your mind. Father God, would you help us to pray? I know the disciples asked Jesus, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And Lord, your word teaches us. And Lord, I want to thank you for your word. And I just pray today, Father, that you would just open our hearts and our minds up to the spoken word, the preached word. And God, help us to be people of prayer. Lord, we need you. Oh, God, right now, I just cry out to you and I say, "God, help us. God, help us. We can't do anything without you. We are powerless apart from you. Oh, God, help us. Help us today. Help us in prayer. Help us in salvation. Help us in life. Oh, God, help us." I pray this in that precious name of Jesus.